join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Three Dimensions of Love by Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey.
Love will demand you to be inconvenienced.
Right. Right.
Can I tell you the most inconvenient thing that anyone has ever done throughout the history of mankind? You know what that was?
Jesus
dying on that cross. I don't think that was convenient.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, I don't think the day after that could have been convenient. Okay? Jesus inconvenienced himself. And the Bible says this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren.
Amen.
Okay, let's go a little bit deeper here. Because that third dimension, this is where we're really getting into the next part of this here. That third dimension of love is, so we love God, vertical. We love our neighbor as ourselves, horizontal. But then the third one is implied in it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Love your neighbor as yourself. So the implication is really, it almost would have been more in order for us to say we love God, love ourselves, and love our neighbor.
Right, right.
Love God, love ourselves,
right.
Love our neighbor.
Right.
Because the Bible says we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Right.
Now, so we got a problem if you don't love yourself.
Right. Yeah, we do.
Because we can't love our neighbor as ourselves. Right. If we don't love ourselves.
True.
Okay. Now we could go deep into this, but we know in this era of social justice or social injustice, in this era of awokeness, if you allow me to say, the Great Awakening, perhaps even in the last year, particularly of African Americans, you know, a lot of us, we realize we have some self-hatred going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got self-hatred when you don't want to identify with yourself or your own people or your family or where you came from, want to deny your history.
Well, as y'all know right now, we're not at home, okay? So we're in a hotel room. So we're at a place where, you know, you don't see too many of people that look like us.
But let me just say this, ain't many people here, and we've been doing room service. I didn't need to change the scenery.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we ain't around a whole bunch of people. We doing room service.
Change of scenery, you know, which is good. So we see people. So we're like, you know, we're walking. We were the only ones here, we thought, you know, and then we start seeing more of us show up. But the interesting thing, when we see us, they try and act like they don't see us. So
now, y'all know, you know,
I'm like, you missed me.
There's a common thing. Okay, for my white brothers and sisters who are watching, there's a common thing that we black people do when we see each other in different settings. It's just a look. It's
not like not this.
Okay?
Not this.
Not this.
Not this.
It ain't this.
Yeah.
But when you do that, like, that means I see you.
What's up?
We got common history.
Right.
We know each other's story.
Oh, you know? But they're looking right through us. They're uncomfortable to acknowledge another brother and sister of the same nationality, the same race. And I just find it so interesting.
So, and your assumption is that may be some self-hatred?
Self-hatred. And it's so, it's, you know, you could almost miss it. You may, it's so, sometimes it's just, you've been trying to, especially for those of us who are always trying to achieve and become, and we're striving for everything that we, should have. Unknowingly, you start having some denial of self, you know, because you have to assimilate and be. I don't want to make this into another.
But it's okay, because I'm going to flow here a little bit. You know, even my own history, I realized, some of you heard my story, okay? I was born and raised in the projects up until I was a teenager, mm-hmm. okay? I share it, but I came from somewhat of a shameful background family.
Right.
You know, my father was in and out of prison. My mother shacked up with a man. She shacked up with a man, and my mother and father were never divorced. Brothers and sisters who mm-hmm. got involved in drugs, mm-hmm. poverty. And then I went to a school
right.
with white kids who, from my perspective, had none of those issues.
Right.
Most of them were from two family homes. I remember this one girl, I felt I had something in common with her because she lived in an apartment. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. She was one of everybody else lived in a single family home. She lived in an apartment. I'm like, we here. He was white, but we here. Mm-hmm. We understand each other. We lived in an apartment. And so for a long time, I felt ashamed of my past. And I did for a long time. I identified poverty and being black as one of the same. Of course, I grew up to understand differently. Right. But when you're a child, in my mind, everybody who was white
right.
had the needs met.
Right.
But people of means had more. And of course, we know that. We know that poverty really has no color line.
None
okay, and I really say that you ain't seen poor till you seen white rural poor.
Right, right.
A lot of you who maybe even up north, okay, you haven't seen poor. We down here in the south, and there are places I've been and gone through places you would think nobody lives in, and it's some poor white family who mm-hmm. lives in that place that looks inhabitable. You haven't seen poor until you've seen white rural poor. But so for a long time, I was ashamed mm-hmm. of being black. Because I identified it with poverty, I identified it with shame. And so I had to come to grips with all that. Can I tell you this? For a long time, I was even ashamed of being Pentecostal.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Because the Pentecostal church, we had storefront churches. Mm. And and you might go to church and people going to act crazy mm. and fall and roll on the floor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I knew I couldn't invite my white friends there. Mm-hmm. And so I had grew up with all this shame and all. And so as a result of that, you might want to deny who you are. You want to deny your history. If y'all get a chance, I think tonight's the last night of it. And go back and look at it. It's going to be in Prime Video, the history of the black church mm-hmm. on PBS
right.
or locally in Columbia, South Carolina, ETV. Lewis Gates is doing, it's powerful. Mm. It shows the history and the evolution of the black church in America and even how the black church went right. through that, right. coming out of poverty. And right. then we got to the place that right. when we went to Fisk University and Hampton University, we want to change our music to sound more like the white churches, and
to be accepted.
Yeah, we want to be accepted. Can I tell you something? It's not a mistake who you are.
Amen. That's right.
Your history is not a mistake.
Right.
Everything you are, everything that you've been through,
yeah.
everything you've come through,
right.
God wants to work it in right. for a testimony
right.
and for you to reach somebody. Now, so because I came from the project, I can identify with people who came from the project. Mm-hmm. Because I came from poverty, I can identify people who came out of poverty.
Right.
Because you grew up in Newark fighting.
That's right.
Now you can preach a whole message called fight.
I can teach you how to fight.
Okay.
Hold because your she
grew up now. Y'all, I grew up watching fights. My sisters and brothers fought.
I fought.
Y'all told y'all I wasn't a fighter. The one fight y'all really hear me talk about.
Fight.
The one fight y'all hear me talk about is when my sister told me to go out there and beat that boy and get my marbles. Otherwise, she was going to beat me, my oldest sister. And I'd rather be beat up by that boy than be beat by my sister.
But you fought.
Okay, I fought because she made me fight. Okay. And so what I'm saying, come on, I'm saying that you got to love yourself.
Right.
Love your background. Love your people. I don't care if you're black or you're white. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. Come on. It's not, the Bible said God had determined
bounds.
The bound of our habitation.
Right.
And he made us all of one blood.
Right. One okay? blood.
One blood. And he had purpose for each of us. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to be colorblind to love yourself.
Right.
Or to love other people.
Right.
So to be colorblind, if you're colorblind, you can't appreciate a rainbow. Mm. If you're colorblind, you can't enjoy the diversity of flowers. If you're colorblind, you can't see that a ladybug is orange, mm-hmm. and that a cardinal is red, mm-hmm. and a robin mm-hmm. is orange,
right.
and a blue jay right. is blue. Right. You better preach her. I'm feeling it right now. Come on. God didn't want you to be colorblind.
Right.
He wants us to appreciate and value the diversity
yeah.
of all of us. And that has to start with loving yourself.
Right. And so even as if, you know, talking about this whole thing about races, but within our own race and in the category of colorism, you know, we have to embrace the our tone, our skin tone, you know, whether it's rich or whether it's light, you know, those are issues that we have as a people that cause us to have some self-hate. So for us to really truly love our neighbor, you know, we have to learn how to love ourselves, to accept how God has created us and accept how he made us, our uniqueness, embrace all of that so that you can see someone else and to celebrate them.
Right.
You can see somebody else and not feel like their existence is throwing shade on your existence. That, you know, that you have, they have to be dimmed down in the light of walking of who they are before you can truly walk
That's
as
so good.
Who you are. And so as we love ourselves and accept ourselves and how God created us regarding our race, our complexion, our weight,
our background,
you know, your gifts, you know, that we can really, truly, really embrace one another and celebrate one another. And then you can truly love each other. Never quite understood, you know, the vision and strife we have within, even within church, you know, because, you know, someone else does this and somebody else does that. And at the end of the day, God made you and created you the way you are for a purpose. I mean, I enjoy worship. I can get into worship. I mean, I am a worshiper. But God did not give me vocal cords to sing.
Sure, you can sing.
I can
Go
sing.
Ahead.
You know what? We're not going to do that
right now.
Go ahead.
Right you can
now.
Sing right now.
You know, but we're not
going to. Anointed Jesus.
Yeah, there you
go.
That. There we go.
Ooh, did you hear it?
Listen, but check this out. But I can't be so resentful of the fact that I cannot sing, that I can't, you know, I cannot enjoy someone else's voice.
When you love yourself, you have to neither compare nor compete.
I love that.
When you love yourself.
That's good.
You
Somebody,
don't have to compare nor compete.
Y'all need to tweet that right there.
Amen.
That's good.
So Romans 13, 8 through 10, we all know this in verse 8, Romans 8. 13 and 8, we kind of know this in the context of financial management and paying our bills,
mm-hmm.
which it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal,
mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet or desire what belongs to somebody else, or be greedy for something that belongs to someone else. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he culminates this in verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. He said, you love your neighbor as yourself. He says, because if you love yourself, he said, if you love your neighbor, you won't kill, you won't steal, you won't bear false, we won't covet, you won't take somebody's, you know, take somebody's donkey, take somebody's cow, whatever, steal. He said, because you wouldn't want anyone to do that to you.
Right.
He said, so in order to really value other people, see, I've always said this. You know, people say there's a dumb statement. I'm sorry. I'm going to use kinder words. There's an unwise statement that people say, well, I ain't hurt nobody but myself. Mm-hmm. Well, based upon the scripture, if you hurt yourself, you hurt me. Mm-hmm. If you were hurt yourself, you just might hurt me, because the Bible said you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you probably ain't going to love me. Mm-hmm. So it starts with, we have to love ourselves. So what does self-love, let's go a little deeper. What does self-love look like? Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about a couple of things, and then we're going to go a little deeper here. Because Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, it tells us that men ought to love our wives as our own bodies. Mm. We're to love our wife as our own body. For he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Mm-hmm. A person doesn't hate himself.
Right.
But rather he nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord of the church. Ephesians 5:29 from the New Living Translation said, no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it. When you love yourself, you feed and you care for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And the Message Translation says, no one abuses his own body. Does he? Mm-hmm. No, he feeds and pampers it. So in the context, he's talking about marriage. So let me take another little side journey here. Ladies, don't marry a man who don't wash. Don't marry a man who don't care nothing about now about how he looks at all. Mm. Because Bible says he's supposed to love you the way he loves himself. If he don't care ever how his hair look, he might have a problem that you won't get your hair done. Mm, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man yet hated his flesh, but nourishes and cherishes. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it. No one abuses his body, but no, he feeds and pampers it. So if you love yourself, this according to the scripture, you won't abuse your body. Let's go a little deeper. Because we got to love our neighbors, love ourselves. So loving ourselves also, based upon the Message Translation, it says he feeds and he pampers it. Okay? He nourishes it. He cherishes it. And he takes care of it. He doesn't abuse himself. If you love yourself, you won't abuse yourself. Rather, he cares for it. And give yourself some self-care.
Right, right.
So I wrote down a couple of things here. What are ways that we can abuse our bodies? Okay. And we can go, you can add lib or add anything as you want to. First thing I wrote down, my poor diet.
Yeah.
Okay. You may love your stomach, but obviously you hate your life. Okay, you got to love your whole body, not just your stomach.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about loving your stomach, that's gluttony. You know, we talk about all the seven deadly sins and all the Ten Commandments, and we don't ever deal with gluttony. Mm. Okay, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:13-20, it says, meat is for the belly and the belly is for meat, but God's going to destroy both. Okay, he said, you can't live by literally, it means just feeding your body, your stomach, whatever you crave.
Right. Right.
Okay. But it also means you just can't have a non-disciplined flesh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you give your flesh whatever it wants. And, you know, I use all these old examples from 80s movies and all that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I'm at a day now. I got to explain to the younger people the X's, Y's, the Z's, and the millennials. Okay. But there was a movie called Little Shop of Horrors. And the movie Little Shop of Horrors, it first was a play. Tisha Campbell was in the movie, by the way. And in the movie Little Shop of Horrors, he brought home this plant, and the plant grew, and the plant became animated. And then the plant started saying, feed me, Seymour. Feed me, Seymour. And sometimes your flesh is saying that. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me some marijuana. Mm. Feed me some sex. Mm. Feed me chocolate cake. Okay? Feed me soda. Okay, now for example, I drink water, and the last several years I've been drinking sparkling water. And you know, I don't know if you ever told you, you introduced me to sparkling water. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you introduced years ago. A couple of times you order, I'm like, remember I said, this is nasty.
Yeah.
You know, but now I drink nothing but sparkling water. Every now and then, maybe once a quarter, I might get a taste for a Coke. Well, the truth of the matter, I'm not as disciplined as I ought to be regarding physical exercise. So the next best thing I got to do is at least watch. Come on, either got to do.
You know what?
Wait. This revelation here. Stick with me.
Listen.
So you either got to do push-ups or push-backs. Now, ideally, do both.
You need to do both.
But you got to do one or the other. You got to either do push-ups or push-back. Mm. Push-ups is the physical exercise. Push-back means sometimes you got to push your back, push away from that table. If you love yourself, you got to take care of these bodies. Mm-hmm. You only get one. You know, we were talking about, some of you may watch the interview that I did last night with Akintunde. He interviewing me, talking about the life and legacy and impact of Apostle Frederick Casey Price, or we know originally as Dr. Casey Price. Well, when I was a kid, a teenager, I didn't understand the full ramifications of so many things. And I was in a church, and all my life I've been in church, but I never heard anybody preach and teach about the things that he did. And one thing that Dr. Price used to teach about was being overweight.
Always.
He used to talk about being fat and overweight. And it baffled me because, you know, I grew up in church where, you know, we preach about heaven and you can't have sex and it's not supposed to drink, not supposed to party, not supposed to hang with unbelievers, all that stuff. And nobody ever talked about weight. So it was hard for me. I didn't understand until I got older why he would even be preaching and teaching about weight. Now I understand he was teaching 3 John 2, which says, "Beloved above all things, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, your mind, your will, your body, your soul, your spirit, your whole body." And so if we're going to really have God's prosperity, we got to take care of these bodies.
Yeah.
Now listen to me, y'all. Don't get mad. Thank God for technology today. Thank God for medical science. Mm-hmm. Thank God for orthopedic breakthroughs and all this that you can get now new hips, new shoulders, new knees. Mm-hmm. Okay, and all that. When I was a kid in the 70s, there was a movie that came out, The $6 Million Man.
Yeah.
Okay, it looked like all fantasy. They say we're going to make him over. We're going to give him new this and new body parts. And now he can run faster than anybody else. Well, now we got, you know, you can get new knees and new hips. And I thank God for technology and for medical breakthrough. You can do that. But can I tell you all this? The truth of the matter is, I'm not talking about people injured. The truth of the matter is God intended these knees to last a whole lifetime. God intended for these shoulders to last a whole lifetime.
Right.
God intended for these hips to last a whole lifetime.
Right.
But when they're bearing more than they should, they're being abused.
Right.
Okay. And so we need to, y'all, we need to be conscious about loving ourselves also through loving our bodies. Mm. Okay? So be conscious. And some of you, come on, we're still in the early part of the year. I'm not talking about making a resolution. I'm talking about making a decision. And some of us, we can just start with small things.
Little things.
Little things. I'm going to eat better.
Eat better. Drink more water.
I'm going to take a 30-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to drink more water rather than soda.
Right.
I'm going to cut back on sugar. Mm. You know, all the things. There's so many things we like.
Right.
We like. We know it's good to us, but we know it's not good for us.
Yeah. And it's hard to pull away from those things because the whole sugar and the impact, the effects on your brain, you know, becomes almost like a drug. And so you try to pull away from it and then your body craves it. And then so much that we eat, sugar just all through it. So it's a real challenging thing when you're trying to stop eating sugar sweets. You find yourself eating some food that has sugar in it unknowingly, and then all of a sudden you desire more candy or more sweets. So it's a challenging thing, but you can do it.
You know, sometimes we just have to make the decision that I got one of these bodies. And it's supposed to last a lifetime. This is what I got to say. You know, the Bible said Jesus went around healing all manner of sickness and disease.
Mm.
And sickness and disease are not the same thing. Okay? You can have a disease and not be sick.
Right. Right.
And so a lot of time, we're conscious of sick. We want to be healed of sick. We don't want to be sick, but we're not as conscious about disease.
Right. Right.
But disease leads to sickness.
Right. Well, let's talk about this pandemic and the impact this pandemic has had on, especially us as people of color, and because of, we have underlying health conditions.
High blood pressure.
Yes, and diabetes.
Diabetes.
And then not to mention that it you can go through differently based upon being overweight. It can impact
right.
you.
I was seeing this, and then finally I heard somebody say, whenever I saw somebody who I knew was obese or severely overweight get the virus, my prayers were really going because it was disproportionately affecting overweight people.
Right.
I don't know if y'all noticed that. Somebody was more likely to get more severely sick or even die if they were overweight.
Right.
And now I don't know the numbers, but they were saying one of the risk factors of being severely affected, either being severely sick or dying from COVID-19 or coronavirus, is having a body mass index, BMI, over a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a high risk factor.
Right.
Those are risk factors. So which tells us, you know, depending on how we take our body, we can ward off sickness and disease quicker.
Right.
But what I got to say about sickness, so a lot of us, we're concerned about sickness. We don't want to be sick, but we're not as concerned about disease. So high blood pressure is a disease.
It's a disease.
Stroke is a sickness.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And so we got people, we're not concerned as long as we don't have a stroke. But if you don't manage the blood pressure, which is a disease, you're going to get sick.
Right, right.
You can be sick.
I can't be sick.
Or, you know, cholesterol, which can come from, you know, I love, the truth of the matter, y'all, I could eat steak every night. I love a good steak. But I know a good steak every night ain't good for me.
Mm.
So when even and when we're traveling, when we're going to a nice restaurant, Pastor Mark, I love a good steak.
Mm-hmm.
I will go to a different steakhouse every night if I could do that. I mean, I can't do that, but I know it's not wise for me to do it. So I will monitor. I'll say, okay, now I had steak Sunday. Okay, I'm going to do my best to eat red meat only once a week. As much as I may like it, because red meat and chicken skin and all and fat contributes to cholesterol.
The greatest commandment tells us to love God with everything we have and to love others as ourselves. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey discuss love as it pertains to loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at @RDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.